my art, man. Just doing visual art now. That's how bored I've been.
Cool, man.
God damn it, I've been ready too. Holy shit, we're back. Coming to you live. Recording from the basement of the historic Ryman Auditorium. How do you feel about that? How'd that sound?
Yeah.
I don't know. We got
to
figure something out.
Have a ring to it like that.
I've moved, so we're not at the top of the
Batman building.
Batman building anymore. We're somewhere else.
It does feel like a basement. So
we're in the basement of the historic Ryman Auditorium. It's Paradise Pod. We're back. Holy shit, Don. What the fuck is going on?
Not much, man. How's it going with you?
Not bad.
Are these walls thinner? Because I feel like...
They are. Okay. Yeah. So that's the new apartment. I love it. Everything about it. One negative is that the walls are much thinner.
And there's no lights, but yeah.
No lights yet. That's on me to do that, but...
Yeah. All right. Well,
this might be a burp heavy, excuse me, episode.
We just had... Burritos.
We just had some burritos, and we were doing a ranking of burritos, Oscar's Taco. Just fine. Not particularly good, but yeah. Not bad.
Again, good, great breakfast burritos.
I would take a Blue Coast over it.
That was both our like first burrito, yes. We would say. They're
I think
good.
Murfreesboro people love Blue Coast, and I've been told that it was me that said it. The Blue Coast in Murfreesboro is like the platonic ideal of the Blue Coast. It's perfect. Like, it's a great location. Yeah. Like, everything about it is perfect.
They opened one up in like East Nashville or West Nashville and by like Vandy.
It's not the same, dude.
It lasted like 3 months.
That's one thing that Murfreesboro has. Is there anything else really that you would take like the Murfreesboro version of over?
Blue Coast, I feel like their Jimmy John's are better.
That's probably true. No, I agree with that. Yeah. Maybe it's just because it was the first.
Yeah.
My first, you know? You always remember it.
I don't know. They just hit different.
It does hit different.
It was just like, we live like a block away from it.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
Yeah. Well, anyways, we're back, maybe. How are you feeling about the dang gum COVID, is it over? Are we back as a society, not just the pod?
We'll see.
We'll see. Very diplomatic response. I don't know.
I mean, I'm very pessimistic, so I'm going to say
too.
I think enjoy this while we can.
I think we got about... So I think that when I look at like the data, I try to understand that as far as like we look at new... I don't really focus on like the deaths because that's like... more of like an output that's random and you can't really control. I try to focus on like the inputs, which is like new cases, right? Yeah. So the new cases are steadily increasing. As far as I saw when we started like this light reopen or whatever, it's probably all whatever. So it was going up in at least in the state of Tennessee, and the Tennessee Department of Health data, it was going up by like about 300 new cases every single day. And that increase, it's not like the increase in the new cases every day had even shrunk. Let alone like the active cases. What do you do? What was that?
I was trying to burp away from the mic.
Just do it, man. People, they miss the burps. You see the stack of fan mail over there. Yeah. Half of those are just talking about burps. Missing. Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're saying is cases are coming up again.
So we haven't even flattened it.
Yeah. So I did see like Florida, which is like supposed to be one of the, like the spots that like all the leagues are trying to go to.
Yes.
To like start over. They had the highest new cases since like mid-April. And it's like
tight.
It's like, all right.
So that's a good segue, I guess, to...
The thing is, I think we'll be fine everywhere else. So like we'll get Premier League. We'll get like Bundesliga is already back. We'll get Premier League. Like those leagues will probably be fine because I feel like they're doing a lot better job.
Better responses,
yeah.
Smarter responses,
yeah,
stronger responses,
just,
earlier responses, crucially.
Population is just way lower that it's probably a lot easier to get a handle on it.
Yeah, that's the thing. My natural instinct is to like because it's usually ends up being correct, is to like criticize the response of the United States most of the time. Sorry. But that's the one thing. It's just like, you could always just say like, well, our shit's just worse because we're like so daggum big. Yeah. And it's just like, well, maybe that might be true.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know if I can refute that.
I hope it's hope. I mean, for the sake of like not wanting people to die, I hope it gets better, but I'm pessimistic. So,
right. I mean, yeah,
we'll see.
I'm with that. But you were mentioning like leagues restarting, soccer restarting around the world. We watched Bundesliga start last week, which was nice to see. I mean, it was great. It felt amazing to be watching live top tier sports.
It's still not
sports, let alone soccer. It's cool that it was soccer, like our thing, but just if it was anything, you know.
Yeah, I'm still not used to like no fans. Like they had it a little bit before they like shut everything down, and it was weird then, like watching Champions League with no fans, and it's still weird. But after like, I mean, I would say after like 10 minutes in the match, you're like, all right, like
I don't know, because the way that I've always enjoyed soccer is so, it's been so like,
yeah, you'll like it because you like,
for me, I mean, I'll be watching it in the morning by myself before like all my roommates, you know, a couple years ago, and like
you like to hear the field, so.
Wonder how that guy's doing. He can't hear the field now.
No.
The guy that harassed us at the first Tennessee a couple years ago.
No, but you also play like hours and hours of Football Manager, so this is probably great for you because you get to hear like everyone yell and like.
It's true. I can treat them like my little Sims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, it's weird, but it's cool. I take it over not having anything. So.
Yeah, and so for the listener, we have like this gambling group text with our friends. And occasionally, if they're desperate enough, they'll take like a soccer bet. I'll throw them out there sometimes. They don't usually get taken up, but I figured people might be desperate enough that threw out a couple of Bundesliga lines, and I was dying for somebody to take me up on Dortmund, you know, to cover like 2.5 goal win or whatever that was for them. Because I had a feeling that, and I think that it's confirmed from results over the weekend as far as I've seen, especially the Dortmund game. I think that the no crowds will benefit the stronger side.
Yeah.
And there'll be less underdogs winning because I think it ends up being a training session where like the A team's playing the B team.
Yeah.
And there's less other factors to even it out. And that's totally what the Dortmund and Schalke match looked like to me. I don't know.
Yeah. Schalke didn't look that good.
No.
But
it was really fun to watch. Like it was Dortmund kind of just put on a clinic, which was cool. Yeah.
And it might be biased, but they only look good to me when McKinney had the ball.
McKinney was good.
Yeah.
We've been talking recently about where, because had you actually seen a quote or was this just a made up thing of McKinney mentioning that he'd like to be in the Premier League at some point? I mean, it makes sense.
No, so I read he wanted to be in the Premier League.
And then I guess, especially an English speaker, American, whatever.
And then I just threw out Spurs just to fuck with you.
Yeah, which I don't think would make sense, but. Yeah. I can't get the idea of Sheffield United out of my head. I feel like he'd slot in well there. Like, I don't know. He's an interesting player, and I grow to appreciate him more each time I watch him.
Yeah, and
in ways that you wouldn't necessarily appreciate a player for when you first see them. Like, he's
a fucking tank for one.
He's a tank, yeah. And I think his best qualities and attributes are when they're not on the ball, like as a destroyer and. His defensive work.
No, yeah, I really like him. I still think he'll go one of like, I guess Sheffield's probably middle of the table right now, right?
Yeah. I think they climbed up to like into the Champions League spots at some point. I mean, they're going to fight for like Europa League spots.
Yeah.
By wage bill and everything, they should be like lower table. They should be relegation spots, but they're overperforming. They're fun to watch. I really like them.
I'd be curious to see if he goes to like one of the higher tier teams just because
I can't see it.
I feel like there's a lot of like Pulisic hype too where they're
just
like,
because marketing
marketing and stuff like that. Like I don't think it's not gonna be like Liverpool or Man City or Chelsea or that, but it'll
so probably, right, you're right. If yeah. that level of player it would be like a Spurs like, or Everton is the obvious one too.
Leicester City would be
maybe
like that.
They're set, though. They're stacked.
They are. I'm just being like that tier where it's like not the top 4 to 5,
yes.
but like the tier right below that.
Yep. Everybody,
which that might be Sheffield. I'm going to be honest. I don't watch Sheffield United. So.
Yeah. They've been fun to watch back when we had Premier League soccer. You remember that?
Those were the days.
So I guess, is anyone else in Europe slated to start back after Germany now?
So the Premier League's like June 20th.
They put a date on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which granted, same thing happened to in Germany when all the players came back, like 8 people tested positive or whatever. Yeah. They've already like had a couple Premier League players test positive, but I guess if they isolate it, then whatever. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, that's my thing. I mean, I had talked to you. I didn't think that the Bundesliga, up until the day it happened,
yeah,
I was skeptical that it would happen at all.
I think it'd be fine for these, like, the rest of the season games. I don't know if, assuming that there's, like, a second wave, like, I don't know if they're going to, because it's fine now because, like, you can house people in a hotel and quarantine and basically isolate them from everything for, like, 4 weeks.
It feels like it's fine. Just sitting on such a house of cards. It feels like it could just collapse off of one.
Oh, for sure.
Either top tier player saying, I'm not doing this, which it sounds like is going to happen.
But that's what I'm saying is I think it's easier now because it's only like 9 games left.
Yes.
Whereas when you get into like a full season, people are going to be like, I don't want to be like 4 months away from my family. Like,
how many games, I wonder, are left in the Premier League?
I don't know.
Anyways.
Could be around the same.
Yeah. France already called it a day. They said the season's over. I don't know if you saw that.
Italy got hit. Or France. I'm sorry.
Yeah, God knows what Italy.
Yeah, I'm
they'll
sure.
ever have another season again. Ooh.
Sorry to our Italian fans.
Yeah.
Listeners.
Oh. Fucking getting the coronavirus over here. I'll edit that out.
Yeah. I don't know where we're at now.
Anyway, so MLS.
Yeah.
I have only seen, apparently there are multiple potential ideas, plans for, are you brushing your mic on the,
my mustache?
How's that feel?
It kind of feels good.
That's going to be awful for me to hear when I'm editing this. So if you could please stop, it'd be great. I've only heard the Orlando plan.
Yeah. So all these like states are coming out now. They're like, oh, we're opening up. And I think it's mostly to like try to get the sports teams, like Florida opened up. Arizona opened up and like California opened up, and I think like they're all not doing well.
Yeah, you messaged that like in the group me or something. You interpreted it as like a come and join us plea to like the sports leagues.
Yeah, like Florida especially, because I don't think their cases have been going down significantly enough.
I guess we should explain the Orlando plan briefly if people don't know. Like, I one of the plans that's touted to restart MLS right now is that each team would like camp out at like IMG or somewhere in Florida and like Orlando or something, and they would all just round robin play all the games there, and they'd be televised.
Right. Yeah. Like half would play one city and then another half, like a two hub city.
Yeah.
Two city hub.
Which is similar to what the Premier League has said, because their big concern is the fans.
Yeah.
In England, and they want to prevent, like, you know, if it's like Liverpool's chance to win a title game, fans are going to crowd around outside the stadium no matter what, and you can't stop that unless, and what they're trying to figure out is if they can do it to where the fans don't know where the game is. They're going to pick all these little stadiums, play them in neutral stadiums, and this is literally the plan that I've read, is that, and then they don't tell them like who's playing where, so the fans can't congregate around.
I told you the idea that they should do for fans, right?
What?
Instead of like having no fans, just have one fan for each team in the stadium.
Yes, I really like that a lot.
Just have
that'd
them,
be cool
like,
if we did that with MLS. And I think that who's the who's like the Bible figure that has gone to the two MLS games for Nashville? Who was that guy? Feels like years ago. was he Let My People Goal or something?
Yeah, the Soccer Moses. Yeah. Yeah, let him go, and then, yeah, that'd be fine.
Anyways, sorry, so I kind of cut you off. But so there's, like, the Orlando plan, and then there's, like, a competing idea for starting back MLS, but
yeah, I mean, I haven't done a lot of research on MLS, but I would imagine it's pretty similar. But, yeah, I think...
And you were saying states have, like, they're kind of campaigning for different leagues to be like, hey, come do your whole season
here.
Yeah,
I know for, like, baseball, like, Arizona and... Florida are like big ones that they're trying to campaign.
I could see it.
For hockey, I know it's like mostly Canadian teams for obvious reasons. like Canadian cities
that are protesting it.
No, that are like
petitioning for
like hey, come to our city,
come up here, eh?
Yeah, like yeah. I think they're in a better spot to like be able to do it yeah. than us. But I know Orlando's one for hockey as well, so Orlando might have like no, they have no professional teams, but then they might have like MLB, soccer, hockey, all in playing in one city. That'd be crazy.
Well, that God, who knows? None of it makes sense. No. I'm amazed that the Bundesliga thing appears to be happening. I still feel like it might be sitting on a house of cards where there's one little breakout of infections that causes it all to fall apart. Or I think like a couple of top tier players being like, I got like a small kid at home. I'm not going to leave my family for 2 months. I'm not going to do this and that. It doesn't happen. I don't know. I think it's all very precarious.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I saw they were during the like, I think the Dortmund game they're talking about the or maybe it's the Bayern Munich game when they're talking about I guess they're still they haven't completely canceled Champions League.
Yes, I forgot about the Champions League completely because I was so interested in hearing about how different domestic leagues were going to start back. I didn't even think about Champions League. There's no way that happens now, right?
I feel like you have to, but I don't know. Like,
I don't think that there's as much of an imperative on UEFA to make the Champions League happen as there is for each individual league to make their domestic league happen, because mainly promotion and relegation, because there's so much at stake to lose for teams that are in the relegation spots and
that's what
to
I
gain
think,
for the teams that are going to be promoted.
I think they finish the season and then just like prepare for next season.
I don't think Champions League. Well, I guess Champions League could happen. Champions League,
it's not that many games, but still
logistically in terms of just the league, it's Champions League, it's not a league, but the tournament itself, it would be easier. The problem is the international.
Yeah, so that's also what I was gonna say for MLS is like that's harder because we have Canadian teams.
Yeah,
so like I know some states are like requiring like if you come from like US to Canada to quarantine for like 14 days.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I don't know if that specific. I know like if U.S. to travel to like Italy right now, that would be the case. But I don't know about U.S. to Canada, what their rules are. But yeah, that'll be interesting. The fact that like for like hockey, soccer, and baseball, that there's Canadian teams, and you have to figure that shit out too. But
so will we finish the MLS season that we started?
I mean, I'm pessimistic, so no. But we'll see.
Okay. Anyways,
It'd be cool if we did.
Yeah, it would be.
It'd
cool.
be nice to not only have one goal for our first season.
Damn,
MLS.
I know. It would be nice to get a point for our team.
Like worst season ever. We got 0 points.
Well, you remember me and you came back from the future and said that we were going to win a game.
Yeah. Shit.
I guess that's. Assuming that all was true and is gonna happen.
Seth might wanna.
That's right too. We need. We should have had Seth on the pod. We gotta cherish our remaining time with him.
Yeah.
I guess where we are in the basement
on
of
the bright side, we do get
historic Ryman Auditorium. We need to make it the Seth Sides Memorial.
Yeah.
Studio down here still.
If we if it comes true, then maybe we get Sturridge.
Yeah, that would
before
be.
Tears his ACL.
It would be cool. I wonder how he's doing out there in Turkey right now. Chilling, doing that weird dance. All right, you've had your vegetables, guys. You've had your meat and potatoes of the pod, and now it's time for dessert. It's time for a special treat for you. New segment of the pod. It's Paradise Pod Goes to the Movies. Got a real treat for you here. So Don and I have watched.
Well, are we gonna try to stick to the soccer specific movies?
Yes. Yeah, so okay. Our idea here, assuming that we never get to watch an MLS match again until the year 2022, there should be plenty of soccer movies that we can watch and analyze and give our feedback on to you. And so threw this out there to Donald and his suggestion, which ended up being a very good suggestion for our first film in the Paradise Pod Goes to the Movies series.
Travel Back.
Is the, yes, as always, in the words of Pitbull, in order to, what does he say? Something in the future, we got to go back in time. Anyways, the 1992 Rodney Dangerfield vehicle, Ladybugs, directed by Sidney J. Furie, starring, as I mentioned, legendary stand-up comic actor Rodney Dangerfield. I had a vague memory of seeing this movie once you mentioned it to me and I Googled it, but...
I used to watch it a lot when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
So did you have a lot of memories flooding back to you?
Yeah.
When you were watching it?
Because I used to like stay at my mom's and there wasn't really much to do. So like they had like HBO, and this was like when I was like 12. So getting HBO was like sweet.
Heavy in the HBO rotation.
Yeah. So it was like that and like a couple other movies. But I remember watching Ladybug a lot.
So if you're not familiar with Ladybugs, this is a movie starring Rodney Dangerfield. A little bit probably... past his prime.
I don't know when his prime was.
Years, I think late 80s, I don't know. But it's about basically Rodney Dangerfield plays a salesman that goes by Chesterton, it's his last name. He is basically sort of coerced or tricks his way into coaching a girls' soccer team
For promotion
called the Ladybugs. And this is all a scheme so that he can gain promotion in his sales position at a completely nondescript company. We never learn what they do or what they're selling.
Yeah, it's Mullen Industries.
Mullen Industries. Thank you.
To get ahead in business.
Good luck.
Thanks. Mullen, I'm glad you gave me the right finger.
Sometimes you have to play ball.
Chester, my company sponsors a girls' soccer team.
I'm coaching the Ladybugs. It sort of goes with the promotion, you know?
It's a big office right next to mine just waiting for a guy like you.
What the hell do you know about soccer?
You kick the ball down the field into the net. Try and control the ball. Forget the ball. Try and stay on your feet. Oh, I'm off to a great start.
So the movie begins, first of all.
Yeah, Josh took a lot of notes. I took no notes, so hopefully...
But he's got all of his experience having watched the movie so many times as a child. That's so true. I think that'll compensate. Yeah. So the movie begins with a mustachioed, screaming German man.
Yeah, this is very Hitler-esque.
In front of a backdrop of black and white and red.
Yeah.
Like block symbols of some sort that you can't quite depict, but there's a very Germany in the Third Reich vibe going on immediately for some reason. Which, and that was so weird. So it's Rodney Dangerfield in the crowd of a, like a motivational speaker, who's, you know, imparting this mantra onto everybody that's in the crowd, which I can't remember what it was. It was just like, you can do it. Like, you're great. Believe in yourself.
Yeah. They looked in a mirror and it was like, you're great. Blah, blah, blah. It was basically like to get them to like ask for the promotion.
Yeah, so this is the...
He's trying to hype himself up.
And you get the impression that this might be some kind of recurring thing, like maybe he'll see this mantra. Never again mentioned.
No.
does not lead to, like, it's not a Chekhov gun of any sort. It doesn't come back up at any point in the script.
He does use the mirror, though. Because he shows that the chick with the braces, like, after...
That was a callback to the motivational speaker. Okay.
Where he's like, look at yourself, so...
Well, anyways, it's this sort of insecure Rodney Dangerfield hyping himself up at this self-help seminar to ask his boss for a promotion. And one thing, a note that I have, is that like everything about Rodney Dangerfield, like the comic and the actor, like his persona, is so at odds with this character immediately.
Yeah.
This character, it seems like it was written for like someone else. It should be like a younger actor that's like, you know, not, I mean, Rodney Dangerfield is like, he's looking like shit, obviously, in this movie. He's like, you know, probably coming up on like 70.
Yeah, I don't think he lasted much longer.
I think he hit the bucket shortly after this. One thing I noticed in Googling this too is that the child actor, Jonathan Brandis,
that
was kind of a bummer. Yeah,
he hung himself maybe. No suicide note.
2003, RIP. So Rodney Dangerfield is a salesman. He decides he is going to ask his boss for a promotion. He's sprinkling in his little one-liners throughout the movie.
Yeah.
In like the classic Rodney Dangerfield, like, oh, hey, yeah. I get no respect throughout the movie. And they don't, like, none of it lines up with, like, who this character is supposed to be.
No, but
like, this insecure, like, striving, like, I need this promotion to get my girlfriend to marry me.
It is very 90s-esque, though.
Yeah.
Like, this felt like, I was like, oh, yeah, this makes, like, none of this, it's weird now, but it felt like it was like, oh, yeah.
It is very 90s in the fact that, like, I don't think there's any like 65-year-old men that are like in this type of position where they're like, oh, I gotta talk to the boss and kiss his ass and get his promotion and marry my girlfriend. But he's also like a struggling salesman with like his own secretary and like large portion of this office.
Yeah,
which I feel like is also very 90s. Like he's probably making the modern day equivalent of like $350,000 a year.
Yeah, probably. I mean the Mullen guy, his boss had like a racquetball or volleyball
his house
court.
Is pimp. So basically, yeah, a big theme of my notes is that Mullen is the man. He's the actual hero of the movie.
Yeah, he had like a volleyball court in his net or in his house. So
very cool
like,
house.
Assuming he makes a little bit less, well, not a little bit, but probably like even if it's like 50% less than that guy, like he's still probably like $350,000.
Yes. So, anyways, we're introduced to Chesterfield. They call him Chesterton, Chesterfield, whatever. I didn't get his name until halfway through the movie, but Chester. His secretary is Jack Hay, yeah. As we all know from television generally. I feel like she's been in like everything, but I can't name one thing she's been in. But you know Jack Hay.
Yeah, what was she in? I feel like she does a lot of things with like the Wayans Bros.
Just Google it if you want. I'll just edit this shit down.
And might I say, not looking too shabby.
Not looking bad, dude. No, Jack Hay was...
Back then?
A little bit of a babe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's looking pretty good.
Not bad.
You can keep going. Cause...
Anyways, yeah, so Chester is talking to Jack Hay, his secretary.
That's it. She was the mom in, like, Sister with, like, Tia and Tamara.
Okay. I feel like there was stuff before that, too. I think she was in, like, 90s TV that we're probably a little too young for.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
Happy birthday, by the way.
It's late. Oh, where's my present?
Yeah, let me get it.
This is exciting. You can get this on the clock. I'm going to preserve some of the unwrapping experience for you.
This is the worst part of... Peanuts. This is the worst part of getting presents. I make Carly not wrap my presents because I don't like the like surprise aspect. These are really cool. I've seen ads for these.
Yeah, I got hit with an ad right when I wouldn't normally buy one of my friends a birthday present. Who the fuck do you think I am? But I noticed your birthday was coming up, and I got hit with an ad for these Star Wars playing cards. So there you are. Happy birthday. By the way,
big Star Wars fan.
Yes, I was going to mention with your birthday taking place recently, the movie comes out in 92. So I didn't really... I was actually born in 92. You were probably, what, 7 or 8 years old when this movie came out?
I was 2.
You were probably 5 or 6?
I was born in 1990.
Okay.
So I was 2 when it came out.
So you're 4 or 5 when it comes out.
I don't even think I looked
that old.
When
the movie comes out in 1992, you're about 6 years old.
I don't even think I looked that old. I think you just look like you're 18.
So I was thinking that you probably did remember this a little better than me, you know?
Yeah. My 2-year-old self remembers this.
Anyways, Chester and his secretary, Jack Hay, he gets the confidence to ask his boss, Mullen, the pimp, the Chad, for a promotion. Mullen is just kicking his hot wife out of his office. And Chester comes in and he says, oh, I get no respect. I need a promotion.
Would you skip him talking to the secretary, the Mullen secretary, and it was just like completely sexual harassment.
What happened there? I don't remember.
Well, you're just talking about like basically insinuating banging the secretary.
What?
Well, I mean, he did this a lot in the movie where he's like occasionally just like look at someone's butt or something like that. But like,
yeah.
Yeah. He was like talking about it was pretty much sexual harassment.
You texted me about how problematic, we tried not to tell each other too much about our thoughts on the movie before, you know, we're recording. It was less problematic than I thought it would
be.
Yeah,
it was definitely, I expected worse, especially with it being like Rodney Dangerfield. I was like,
and especially with it being like a gender swap thing, I was expecting it to be ripe for the picking of like.
But yeah, within like the first 30 minutes, like, so before he went in the office, he was like talking to the secretary, and it was probably like 5 minutes of him just like sexual harassing her, and her, and it being 90s, her just being like, oh, haha, stop. Like,
boys will be boys.
Yeah. Type thing. And then there was like another scene, which I don't know if you'll get into that, but like where they, and I had to look up her age. She was like 16 years old. And I was like, she's 16 years old. And they're just like sexualizing her.
Oh, yes. We'll get to that. That, yeah, obviously sticks out. So anyways, Chester gets done harassing the secretary. He goes in. He says he needs a promotion. He's bullshitting and trying to suck up to the boss of the company, Mullen. He sees all these trophies in his office in this trophy cabinet. And he begins to lie and say that he was like a star soccer player because all these trophies have like a soccer ball on them, I guess. And then Mullen says, actually, these are for my daughters. Soccer team, the Ladybugs, they're whatever, state champion, regional champions, you know, 6 years in a row. This is like the thing that I'm most proud of in my life is, I don't know, sponsoring this girl's soccer team.
Yeah, they just sponsored them.
And it's all this fucking guy cares about. He's got the smoking hot wife. He's like, he's got a racquetball court and a basketball court, like in the living room of his house. All he cares about is this fucking little girl's soccer team, which is a little weird, but
it's cool, man.
It's cool. I mean, he is cool. He is kind of a hero of the movie for me.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Chester ends up...
I expected him to be way more villainous. He wasn't.
He's not. He's cool. Yes, he's the hero of the film. Chester is basically coerced into saying that he's going to coach the soccer team because he lies about having this career as a soccer player. Anyways, cut to him meeting the team, right? Let's see. So he agrees to coach the team. I have in my notes balls joke immediately.
All I know is I got a lot of balls.
I can't remember what exactly it was, but you know, I mean, the jokes are really bad. There's one or two points that genuinely make you laugh in the movie, which I think we'll point out, but like, obviously bad. The movie, it's hard to figure out like who it's for. And I guess it's different because movies around
this
time,
apparently,
before like the 2000s or whatever, like it was like a family movie, which I don't even think is a thing anymore, because I know there's Pixar and stuff, but media used to like appeal. It had to appeal to a family because you all had to go and like see the movie. And now it's just like, this is the movie that comes out is like, this is for like the weird Minecraft son. And this is for like,
yeah, I think
the TikTok daughter. And it's all of our media now is so like specialized into like these little, it's like for a specific person.
Yeah.
So that was weird for me watching this movie. I don't think I've watched a lot of movies from like the early 90s recently. It's just like, it's for the family, but it's like, who the fuck is this movie for? It was odd.
I picture as like a suburban white family who's like got the like white picket fence, green glass, like the
which again is a very 90s thing, which
the stay home
exists
mom.
Less and less, yeah. I feel like in 2020.
Yeah, the dad that works all day, and then just that he just absolutely fucking loves Rodney Dangerfield.
Yes, yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. It's probably really for the dad that like was talked into going to see this movie with his family in the early 90s because
Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, he saw like Rodney Dangerfield like smoking a cigar in like a comedy club one time in like the late 70s.
Yeah.
Anyways. Chester meets his team and quickly discovers that no one is remaining on this team that has caused them to be a dynasty and win all these championships for the last 5 or 6 years. But we are introduced to a few of the players who mostly don't get developed as characters at all. The first one is some kind of like slutty 12-year-old.
Yeah.
What was her deal? it was really weird.
Yeah. Just makeup done, everything like that.
Very odd.
I mean, she did score the... Oh, we'll get into that.
No, that's not... You're thinking of Penny Pester.
No. She scored the... She broke her nail.
Oh, that's true. She breaks her nail and it motivates her to go on
we'll
like a...
We'll get into that later.
Yes, but. Anyways. Carmelita Chu, who just from the soccer standpoint of the movie, she's my favorite player on the team. She doesn't appear to be interested in anything except she just starts like
butterflies,
babbling about like butterflies, which comes back later on. And we meet Penny Pester, who I just have in my notes.
She grows
mentally handicapped because at first when you meet her, it's hard to understand. Like, I think she's supposed to be like awkward and like insecure, but it comes across in the movie like she is not playing with a full deck.
I didn't see that. Okay. I mean, I can see it now, but yeah, I think, I mean, she probably had the most like character development out of anyone.
Yeah. And then we have Kimberly Mullen, who's the boss's daughter, who, how fucking old is this actress?
She's 16 when this came out.
Is the actress 16 or the character in the movie? That's the another thing.
Actress 16.
Okay. So that's another thing. You start to meet the team and they seem to range in age from like 7 to 19.
Yeah.
And the whole time you're watching the ladybugs play against different teams, you never get an idea of like what age group this might be.
Their opponents look like college soccer players.
Right.
I was very confused watching like...
But there's a couple of like 6-year-olds on the ladybugs. Yeah. It's very confusing. Anyways, and I didn't connect for most of them, or for like half the movie, that Kimberly was like Mullen's daughter. Like I didn't get it for like a while.
That was a whole joke.
Well, anyways,
and he like laid down his paper towel so she could sit on the grass.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
Jackie,
yes, that's right.
Jackie had that punchline.
Yes.
Now he's kissing the daughter's ass too.
So we discover that there's only one remaining player from the dynasty, and it's a black player, and her name is Nancy Slammer.
And sick name.
Yeah, it's a weird name, but she goes on to like not play a role in the movie after that at all. You think like she'll be like developed into like leading the team or something like that because she's like the returning player. I don't even know why they mention the fact that she's like the returning player. She is not used at all in the rest of the script.
Players here have returned.
Yeah, just like weird choices throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, immediately cut to the first game. So Chester gets no practices, anything with the team. We meet them in that little scene and they're like straight into a game right away. I have in my notes that Jacque and Rodney Dangerfield start to have an argument over which races are best at sports.
I didn't catch
that. It was funny. Jacque is arguing like on behalf of black people. It's like,
oh, I do.
Black people are best at sports. And Rodney Dangerfield he's like, oh, we got water polo, whoa, and golf, hey, and you know, this is good for a chuckle. Anyways, the ladybugs lose 9-0. It's clear that Chester's out of his depth. He's gonna have a lot of issues with the ladybugs.
Mr. Mullen's very angry.
Says, Chester, you want this promotion or not? Like, he is, again, as Alpha Chad, funny guy with a sense of humor, he's like torturing Chester into making this girls' soccer team win to get him to, he's dangling this promotion over his head and making him coach this team. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Again, Mullen the man. When does the future son-in-law come into play? Jonathan Brandis.
Yeah, so after the first game, the next practice, which they don't like each other. Basically, they set that up at the beginning.
Sure. By the way, we kind of skipped over. Yeah, I mentioned like Chester is trying to marry his girlfriend, which is a coworker in the office, and Chester's not getting along with
her son. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he needs the promotion to pay for the wedding.
Yeah, that's not really ever laid out. Like the whole engagement, like the wedding, hinges on him getting this promotion for some reason, which is never really explained either.
Anyway,
except that he's like lied. I think he's lied to the girlfriend and said that he already got it.
Yeah,
but that still wouldn't be. That wouldn't prevent them from like getting married.
Yeah,
getting
engaged. He told her that she had it. But yeah, so the next practice, I don't know if they like if he said he had experience playing soccer. Or he just like.
He did. He lied. Okay. He said, "Oh, I'm the star kicker."
No, the son.
Oh, the son. He does. Yes.
Okay.
But he's been kicked off his team because he's such a hothead.
Okay. Yeah.
We learn.
Yeah. So he invites him to the practice, and then when he's watching it, he sees Kimberly Mullen, the daughter, who he knows from school, and he's in love with her.
Yeah. Chester gets this future son-in-law, his hopeful son-in-law. Says, oh, come help me out. Watch the practice. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, basically like, hey, tell me what I should do. And
right.
Then, so son watches it and then sees the Kimberly Mullen. And then she like airballs a ball and then sequence to sexualizing a 16-year-old.
So bizarre. Yes. Yeah. So the standout moment of the movie by a mile. This is very obvious, clearly to both of us. You can tell now if you could see our faces. Bizarre. So yeah, he has this like daydream clip of Kimberly Mullen, the boss's daughter. I don't even know how to...
She's like running to the ball, but...
she's in like a bikini. In a bikini. And yeah, you're watching it and you're like, how old is she supposed to be? Like what? And it, this daydream sequence goes on for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I was like,
they're like getting in a private jet and like they're all this stuff. It's
yeah. I was like, that's weird. They're in
and
like,
they very, very much like sexualizing this actress who apparently is 16 years old.
That was my thing. I was like, well, that's weird, but maybe she's like, maybe the actress is 18.
She looks like she's 18.
That's what I said. Maybe she's 18 and like, whatever. Like, it's technically an 18 year old.
But you know that it's supposed to be like a kid soccer thing. So it's still weird.
But then I look it up and she's 16 when it came out. And I was like, okay, weird. So she's a 16 year old playing basically a 16 year old. And they're sexualizing.
Not good, right? Yeah. The movie. That's one. Yeah. One. You're looking for something problematic in the movie. We definitely found it there.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, that was probably the worst thing.
It's
just bizarre and unnecessary.
Sense,
so. Yeah. But anyways, Matthew is the son's name.
Yeah.
He agrees to join the team. Oh, he actually gives the first bit of actual like analysis, yeah, like the first good, excuse me, we keep burping here. The first good analysis of like the movie, he says to Chester, he says, well, what you should do is you should put like your fastest runners up top.
That's how I play FIFA.
Right. He was like, if I was on the team, I would play center mid. I would try to control the game. He like says a couple of other things that are like actually good advice, which was kind of jarring to see some actual, you know. Yeah. Not that we're looking too hard for that kind of thing in this children's movie.
No, that part was like out. I was like, I expected like,
but it stands out. Matthew knows what he's talking about.
It was weird because
if
you ever watch like Mighty Ducks movies, like the like actual like hockey part, you're like, oh, this makes no sense.
It doesn't. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like there's
you're telling me the flying V.
Like there's that. There's
would
also,
not get you a goal.
At one point, they're like, and Charlie's on a breakaway, and he has like two defenders in front of him, and I'm like, that's not. I don't understand what any of this is.
It's not a breakaway. Yeah.
So like this actually I thought did a really good job at like that kind of was like, oh, like he actually is making sense. Like soccer, like they actually got people that knew soccer to come. For that part. We can talk about the other parts, but
all right. Anyway, so Matthew agrees. He takes no convincing basically, even though this is causing him to dress in drag and commit like all kinds of like fraud and like lies and help this boyfriend of his mom that he doesn't seem to like at all. But despite all that, he takes no convincing. Because he wants to get in closer with this girl.
I did think it was weird that he was like, if you put me on the team, I'd be center or I'd play me at center mid so I could help it. And then like Rodney Dangerfield like close up, like weird look on his face, like he's like coming up with the idea.
Right.
And then like the kid also knew that's what he's talking about. I was like, how do you get that from like, it's not like he was like, well, I'll dress you up as a girl. Like, the kid already knew that, and I was like, huh? Like, that didn't make sense.
Yeah, and it's just, again, just like, odd writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would love to learn more about the writers of this movie. They were probably, like radio commercial writers or something. They were just, like, Rodney Dangerfield just, like, split an 8-ball of coke with them to convince them to, like, write for this movie, which I also had to know. I think this movie, I mean, how much do you think this movie cost to make? $3,000? Absolutely nothing. I noticed immediately that none of the clips of them playing games, there's no scoreboard. They would not invest in like a scoreboard for this movie. You never see the score projected up onto a screen.
Well, they show the score, but it's not like
there's no scoreboard. Yeah. It's so weird. Yeah. It was really bugging me the whole time.
I mean, it still probably costs like $3 million to make.
But that's all just going up Rodney Dangerfield's nose, I imagine.
Yeah, probably.
Anyways, he agrees to join the team, Matthew. He comes to the next practice as Martha, little blonde bowl cut.
$20 million.
There's some nice Jesus to make?
Yeah.
How?
Rodney Dangerfield, man.
God, he was getting his bag. Respect to him.
Yeah.
Anyways. Matthew as Martha joins the team. He's hot-headed, but we don't learn in his first game if they've won or if they've lost. Again, the results of these games is kind of irrelevant for a while until the end.
Yeah.
But
he basically, the whole thing was like him playing the game and he just was a ball hog the whole game. And that was what you were supposed to take away from it, that he needed to be more for the team.
Yes. So then for no reason that is apparent to the viewer, Chester takes Matthew to like a clothing store and makes him like try on a dress?
Yeah, could he just not hang out with...
No reason for it. All he needs to do is be a girl like when he's playing on this team. Yeah, yeah, I guess he wants him to like get into character. But it does lead to like one of the only like genuine laughs of the movie, which is a sight gag where he's like in the dressing room with Matthew and like somebody from outside is like listening to them talking. And it's kind of funny.
Ow! Don't worry. If it's too tight, you'll get used to it.
Anyways, I have in my notes here, you know, they start to play again. We meet the coach of the Beavers. Her name is Anne.
Yeah, I'll say he did get him to buy a dress, but then he kept wearing the dress. Like, he didn't have to wear it out the store because he kept wearing the dress, and then he went to, then he went and like boxed at that like sporting goods store and then went to the bathroom. Like, he could have took the dress off at any point in this.
Yeah,
there's no need for him to wear the dress.
And that, going into this movie, I was hoping that it would, you know, it, there would be more there to examine. Hi, Derwood. Oh, it's a nice toy. Good boy. What's going on? On like gender and, you know, that makes you start to think that like maybe he, you know, feels good as like a female and there's going to be maybe something there to talk about and play with. But no, not at all. But it, yeah, he is walking around in a dress inexplicably. But we learn that he, as we kind of get some evidence of when he's describing how he would have the team play, he has some tactical prowess. He has some man management skills, Matthew, because he's got some tricks up his sleeve to get the rest of the ladybugs to perform. So his first thing he does is Carmelita Chu, that we mentioned, who was originally played in goal despite being by far like the shortest, smallest player on the team. Doesn't make any sense. Matthew makes the decision to play her up top in a strike partnership, seemingly with him. And he puts all these butterfly stickers on the ball because she mentions that she's just kind of obsessed with butterflies. And the butterfly stickers on the ball, I guess, get her to like focus in on the ball, but she becomes Mbappe and just she like cannot be stopped. She's scoring these incredible goals. I can't remember what he says to like pester, but she's wearing like these Edgar Davies goggles.
Yeah.
And she just becomes like a box to box complete menace.
Yeah. Did you ever figure out what formation they're running?
No, you don't really get a very good indication.
I kept pausing when it was like wide shots of it. And I was like, where are they at? And I couldn't figure out.
Yeah. All you really see is, you know, Martha/Matthew is always kind of dictating the game in like a playmaker center mid type of role, playing as sometimes in a strike partnership when the ladybugs are on the ball with various people. Carmelita Chu is my preferred strike partner form, but then eventually we see Mullen's daughter is playing up top with him as well. I think Pester gets a turn up top.
Pester gets a turn, and the chick that broke a nail gets a turn at top.
The broken nail. The slutty 12-year-old with the broken nail.
That's why I was like, I feel like they're running like four up top because everyone was up top.
Yes, it's a very ambitious like four striker, Antonio Conte at Juventus type situation. Anyways, I have in my notes, Mullen and his hot wife are drinking champagne in the stands.
Yep.
Pimp. They're just drinking champagne at the girls' soccer game.
I don't hate it.
No. Again, Mullen's the man. And the Ladybugs win. And it's all thanks to Matthew/Martha's man management skills, his individual player coaching, his tactics. Mullen has to pick up Martha from the Mullen's house after the game, and he's like trying not to have to go into the swimming pool because they're all skinny dipping.
Yeah, that was also weird.
Yeah, just weird. Like, who knows?
But then he also, so he goes to pick him up dressed as a woman as well.
Yes, that's right. Now all the girls are going skinny
dipping. I'm here to pick up my daughter Martha. Get in the car quick, these hills are killing me.
I guess
we get
had
the Mrs. Doubtfire, Rodney Dangerfield, his way of picking up Martha from the Mullins house is that he is in like a Doubtfire.
Which I didn't get why that he couldn't just pick him up.
I as know. Normal, but I guess it was not necessary at
but
all.
But I guess that the wife knew him, so he knew that I'm assuming maybe we're supposed to pick this up on our own, that she knew that he didn't have any kids.
Yeah, I don't know.
So like, I don't know. Wasn't, yeah, I don't know. I was like, what? Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense, but.
Yeah. But after this, we get a montage of the ladybugs winning,
railing,
kicking ass.
Apparently, no defense in this league because I don't think
they're not playing D in this league at all.
Every game was like double digit goals.
Yeah. Some real all star game shit. One of my favorite things is that Mullen insists upon his whole company like coming up into the main shared office space of their building, and he gives them like score updates from like the Ladybugs games. Like he reveals like what the score was, and it's always like Ladybugs win 7-1. And I think it's cool that he's forcing all of his employees to
care about
and follow the girls soccer team that he sponsors.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, he's the man. There's a scene with Pester, the girl that is kind of awkward, and she's got braces and she's kind of insecure. She is talking with Chester, and the rest of the girls on the team are talking to some boys, and Chester says, "Oh, why don't you go talk to the guys with the rest of the team?" And she says, "Oh, you know, I'm scared. I don't think I'm as pretty as the other girls and stuff." Chester tells her, "You're actually one of the prettiest girls on the team." And there starts to be this like weird,
it was weird vibes.
It was weird vibes. Yeah. Yeah, this weird almost.
I don't want to say it.
There's this weird tension with Roddy Dangerfield and this like 9-year-old girl, and she does eventually like kiss him on the cheek.
Yeah. Well, she takes her hair down and like
yeah,
takes her glasses off.
He's like, yeah, he's like, he undoes like her hair, and like it's very, I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably innocent. Anyways, we got to another game. Kim, the crush, the Mullen's daughter. She cannot fucking stop just skying the goal. So we can tell that her positioning is very good to get into these positions where she's through on goal.
Yeah.
Whether she's dribbling, I think it's mostly credit to her off the ball work, making good runs. She seems to always get into good positions to shoot, and she just cannot. She just skies the ball every single time.
I got to foreshadow it, man.
It's really frustrating. Yeah, I have in my notes here, I guess she's Mullen's daughter. I guess that's, I wasn't paying too much attention to the movie outside of like my notes or whatever, despite what it seems.
Yeah. This is where you found out she's Mullen's daughter?
Yeah.
when she gets like pulled out of the game?
Well, yeah. So Mullen asked that she's benched.
Which,
again, I have in my notes, he's right. He says she's embarrassing him, embarrassing the team, and she sucks, and he's right.
This was my first time I was like, they don't use any subs in this game, but this was the first time where I was
this
like,
this is
right.
The first sub that first Chester sub. Takes, and Mullen makes him do it. He says, "Get my daughter out, she sucks," and he's right to do that because she's wasting all these chances.
Yeah.
Also, I'm upset at this point because Carmelita Chu, when she was up top previously, seemed to be on a great run of form. Yeah, she's kind of playing as like an undersized nine. She's kind of like a deep lying forward. I wrote that it was like the Dries Mertens role when he was playing at Napoli in recent years up top, kind of the undersized striker. That would be my preferred formation for the Ladybugs at this point. But obviously Chester and Martha have other thoughts. Let's see. So there's the scene where Martha, Matthew have to keep like running around changing clothes because like the mom's there and he can't let her know that he's helping Chester by playing in drag for the team. But then his crush is also there, so he keeps having to go back and be in the girl costumes, just running around the house, haha, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, eventually we get to the championship game.
Oh, he gets caught.
He gets caught by the mom.
So the mom,
like, she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So she kicks Roger out.
Right.
And it's not talking to him.
Obviously, she should have him arrested.
Yeah, probably. And she's apparently not talking to Sonny either. But yeah, so we get to the championship game. And, Matthew, I guess, reveals to Kim that he's Matthew.
Okay.
Martha is all right. Matthew.
Don't even really
she's
remember
not even at
when
the game.
That reveal happens.
She was, so she wasn't even at
should
the game.
Should have been a pivotal point in the movie, but like I don't even
know.
Yeah,
so she wasn't even at the game, which was a thing in itself. Like you're supposed to set your lineup, I'm assuming. So she's not even at the game, and then comes like, so he goes and gets her, reveals that he's, that Martha's Matthew, and then brings her to the game to play. And then she plays. So she shows up halfway the game. And
you're talking about the championship game?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's backtrack a little bit. We're at the championship game. Martha's not there. She's not going to play because she doesn't want to get in trouble with her mom, I guess.
She's an embarrassment.
And Kim is not playing because Mullen has told her, you suck, you should be in the stands. They're playing the Flames in the championship game. And they're coached by this like military guy. His name is Coach Bull. He's Alpha Operator.
Yeah.
He's got his team running into like tackling dummies and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a guy from what was he in?
Yeah, that guy has been in so many things, and
he's in 51st Dates. He's the dad in 51st
yes,
Dates.
Yes. And yeah. I feel like he had like a similar macho man kind of role. Yeah, maybe like his kind of TV show or something.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember. Anyways. Yeah, there's all these cool like opposite coaches. There's one that mentioned earlier on, like the Ann lady. Yeah. The team that had like the sick, like yellow and black, like the Dortmund jerseys. I was like, hell yeah. And then she's immediately introduced, and you're like, oh, she's going to be like the antagonist to, or the nemesis to Chester, to Dangerfield. And again, just a weird choice where she just like never, she just drops off.
Yeah,
and
it would have been like the Iceland and Mighty Ducks were like,
yes,
they get destroyed the first game, and then the championship game is where you get your redemption.
Yes, God, I want to watch Mighty Ducks now. I know we were going to have to do like a soccer series, but that movie's so good.
I mean, it's just soccer on ice.
I guess, yeah. Anyways, I wrote in my, I had to pause the movie and write this down. The Flames score immediately after kickoff, and Chester says, oh, the only thing quicker than that is when I'm having sex.
Yeah, perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Also, their team looked like a bunch of college
players.
Like one chick had a full on like leg brace.
It's huge braces, yes. It's got like defensive tackle braces on their legs for some reason.
They were that was weird.
Anyways, they're getting killed by this Flames team. At halftime, for some reason, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is like in this parade at halftime.
I missed that.
Oh man, it was cool. Anyways, the team is down, distraught at halftime. They don't think they can win without Martha/Matthew. Chester's trying to tell them they don't need him. I have in my notes what the fuck halftime changes. I don't remember what exactly happened there.
Yeah, so Kim came back after she was home.
Yeah.
And I guess you're allowed to like just add players at halftime.
Yeah,
not give a shit. So she came back, and then this was when the big reveal was, which actually I thought was a really good moment.
Yeah. So they revealed to the team that Martha was actually a guy.
Yeah, and that they didn't need a man, which I thought was a good message.
But they did. I mean, nobody learns anything in this movie. There's no moral.
But they didn't though, because they won. Spoiler alert. But I thought, considering it was 1992. Is a really good message to say that.
Which was what?
That he was like, you guys don't need a man. You can do this. You're women. You're powerful.
Okay.
You can do this.
All right. Gotcha. That's nice. But I have in my notes, Carmelita Chu, she demands to go back and goal for some reason, which we saw what she could do when she was up top. When Matthew put the butterfly stickers on the ball and she was just playing out of her skin. And she's like 3 feet tall, but for some reason she demands to be back in goal. However, she does make a bunch of saves.
Just kills it in goal.
Which every shot was right at her, though.
Yeah.
So I feel like her performance and her value to the team as a keeper was inflated there. Jack Hay, finally, the returning black player, does have a role back in the movie.
I have a mental note of like all those shots on, like they had the montage of shots on goal on her.
Yeah.
And it was like, no defense. Like, where are you? All these were like,
no defense, but then every shot is straight at her.
Yeah, every shot was straight at her, but every shot was like, there was a forward and all the defense were behind the forward. So, like, it was just, I don't know.
So the Flames, I don't know what
they're. It's a breakaway in soccer, what they call it.
They needed finishing drills for sure, but they're too busy doing like tackling dummies and stuff.
Yeah.
We finally get a return to the returning black player from the team. Who you thought would be like a major character or whatever. She's not, except that Jack Hay starts teaching her how to like trash talk, and for some reason that turns her into like an electric dribbling midfielder that just slaloms through the defense and just scores a bunch of goals. It's
a little stereotype, I think.
Pester, she dedicates her performance to Chester, her love of the coach, and she just takes it coast to coast and scores.
You skipped the break a nail part.
The break a nail girl.
Yeah, she broke her nail. The
skanky 12-year-old.
Then all of a sudden became like.
The whole crowd is chanting like, "What is it?" Like they're. Everyone gets behind her because they broke her nail, and yeah. She. It's really weird.
And then she turns into. I can't remember the guy's name now.
She goes Neymar. She goes.
Messi was who was.
I mean, yeah, she goes nuts.
Scores.
But then Kim is back in the game because I guess at halftime they're like, "Oh, don't listen to your dad. He's a dick. Like you're good. You should be in the game." Wrong. Mullen was right to take her out. And she continues to be despicable by completely diving in the box. That was not a foul.
Yeah, one, I didn't know if that was in the box.
It wasn't. I don't know about that either. That might have been a bad call from the ref, but she wins a foul.
Should have been straight red though. That was a foul.
Nah, I disagree. What the fuck? No. There's no contact there.
There was plenty of contact. I watched
she
that.
She dives completely to win a penalty to win the game. And Kim takes the penalty.
Straight red.
She spites her dickhead father by chipping it into the top corner, which I admit was a pretty saucy way to take the PK. Just like a lob that hangs in the air for like 6 seconds, but I guess the keeper still couldn't get it. I don't know. Anyways, Ladybugs win. The movie's pretty much over. The final scene is Chester's been promoted. He's friends with Mullen, the boss. There's a new year-round sports program from Mullen Industries or whatever, and it's a softball team full of boys. And I just have in my notes, LOL. So it's like, it's funny, you know, that it continues on the theme of like, oh, sneak the boys into the girls' games to win.
Yeah, so, well, it's a...
And no one has learned anything.
It's a bus full of boys. Yeah, I guess that does kind of take away from the, like, you're women and you don't need a man message, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so... So you think it's just boys playing baseball and they get off the bus and this guy's like, "We heard a rumor about you dressing a guy as a girl and playing soccer," and he goes, "That's despicable. I can't believe you would like say that rumor or like repeat that rumor about me."
Yeah.
And then they're like, then he turns to the baseball players and goes, "Come on, girls," and they're all wearing wigs.
Yes. Pretty funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess that does take away from the message that women are powerful and they don't need a man, when in fact he just replaced every single female with a man.
Yeah. Oh, and then classically, literally the last shot of the movie is Rodney Dangerfield looks at the camera and goes, "I finally got some respect." It just freezes on him and then it goes to the credits. Yeah. It's like, hell yeah. So I just had as my like wrap up notes. I mentioned this earlier. I can't see how this movie cost more than maybe $2,000 to make.
$20 million.
I mean, again, it all went into Dangerfield's pocket. Slash up his nose. There's a lot of nutmegs in this movie.
Yeah, which that was something I did tweet you about, sick nutmeg.
A lot of nutmegs.
But then it was like the very first nutmeg, and then I realized there was way more nutmegs.
Yeah, and I mean, overall, you know, it's like a kid's movie, whatever. I thought it was just kind of like bad, but not like atrocious. I thought it was kind of a shame because like Rodney Dangerfield is so funny. And I think there's a world where he would be really funny in like a kid's movie. I feel like there's a lot of he's like a very inappropriate comedian. And I feel like there's a lot of those types of guys that are really funny when they do a great, surprisingly good job of being like appropriate around children, but they're still funny. And they like, you know, comedians are just like good with children generally. And they just understand humor and like how to interact with kids and stuff. And I feel like this movie could have been really cool with him kind of interacting with the kids in more of like a fun way, but they just insist on him doing this like classic, like Catskills comedian, yeah, one-liner, again, awful.
I feel like it was very kind of a bummer. Appropriate for 90s though.
Probably. Yeah.
I mean, this is like, that was your typical 90s comedy type shit. Like,
yeah,
it was just a bunch of one-liners. Like that's until they realize like people can actually just be funny.
Yeah.
Which is probably like mid-2000s. It was always that.
So those are my final thoughts on Ladybugs.
Yeah.
Donald, any final thoughts on the film?
No, I think...
You've not stopped messing with the mic, by the way, for the past 30 minutes.
Whatever.
God damn!
I thought it held up better than I expected. It was not as bad as I thought, but that's because I thought it was going to be a lot worse. Like, I figured Rodney Dangerfield, and this is like 90s where like wasn't very PC, so people didn't really give a shit.
Yeah, pretty so bad on some accounts, but like, yeah.
Yeah,
to your point, not as bad as either one of us thought it might be or could be. Yeah. Especially given the gender flipping element that could have, like, you know, 30 years later or whatever, looked really bad, and it really wasn't.
Yeah, that was fun. I had fun with it, whatever.
Yeah, it was fine. So that's our take on Ladybugs. It's fine.
Yeah. Do you want to do stars or what's our ranking system?
I give it 3 respects out of 5. Rodney Dangerfield gets 3 respects.
6 out of 10.
Yeah.
I give it like 2.
Okay.
2 respects out of 5.
Okay. Great. All right, awesome. It was very fun to watch and take notes on.
Yeah.
It was more fun to talk about than to actually watch, for sure. So,
yeah. If you guys have any soccer movie recommendations, let us know. You'll need to create like create a list where we can rank all our movies.
Yeah, I can make like a letterbox or something. But yes, we need more good soccer movie recommendations. I know they're out there, but I think when we were growing up, a lot of them probably weren't as big, maybe in the U.S. I know there's a couple of big ones that, like, English people know about.
This was huge for me in the U.S.
Okay. All right. Well, we were going to make this a double feature. I mean, we've been talking, I think, for like an hour about Ladybugs, so it ended up being fine. We're going to make it a double feature with the Maradona documentary, which would have been tonally a lot different, but I think we need like bad movies like this, ideally.
I mean,
so
Coke's probably involved in both of them.
Yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, as much cocaine as can be involved in the film as possible, whether that's via an aging comedic lead in the film or via Diego Maradona. Let us know what should be next in Paradise Pod Goes to the Movies.
Yeah. And hopefully you cut this down to not an hour, because
I enjoyed it. I don't think
anyone's listening more.
Dude, people are starved.
That's true. There's literally nothing else to do.
People are missing the pod too. I know that. I've had at least one person tell me that they need it.
I haven't had anyone tell me they want it.
Maybe 2 people have said.
Maybe Davey said it, but that was like 3 months ago. So
yeah. Well, the future cast was so long ago.
Yeah,
that was like
true.
March 22nd, I think.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Did you want to add, and this might be out of order, but we didn't want to talk about anything that we've done since COVID. What, have you picked up any hobbies?
I mean, you saw I'm doing like, I don't know, visual art now. I really...
Yeah, describe your visual art.
I got nothing. I don't know. I drew like a grid, like a dot grid freehand on like a canvas, and now I'm doing like a kind of like a freehand simulation of like an AI generated dot matrix kind of pointillism type thing, you know, just kind of like a like abstract expressionism, like confined to like a grid. So expressionism that is abstract still, but within like a like rigid confines, which I think really speaks to, you know, what it feels like to be an artist like me in 2020.
Have you done anything, any other hobbies you picked up?
Interior design. I'm enjoying putting together my new apartment down here in the basement of the historic Ryman Auditorium.
Yeah.
It's been cool to move, but like, I don't know. I hope that at some point I'll get the benefit of living here in a cool area to be able to like do stuff. Right now, it's kind of like,
you're closer to me now.
It's true. So I'm closer to you.
I can hang out more.
That's one of the, it's the only real con.
No, I keep coming to your place and you don't come to my place.
Yeah. Well, get used to that. No. Anything new since the future cast?
Oh boy. Okay.
For you.
Start. I've been picking up so many hobbies.
What do you got?
So I started one, we've talked about this. I started yoga.
Yes.
Which you've already, I guess you've been doing it for a while.
I was ahead of you on that front, but I'm glad. Well,
Carly's been
telling
me to.
Fellow yogi, dude. Namaste.
Namaste. Carly's been trying to get me to do it for like a year, and I got to find some way to like get some physical.
I love yoga.
Yeah. No, it's really good.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it. I sowed herbs. So I'm starting a herb garden.
Yes, your plants came in.
No, those are separate.
Okay.
I did get
a very Donald move. He ordered
I am getting
$150 worth of hanging plants.
Yeah, I'm becoming a botanist.
Via the internet.
So I bought plants and then
did not even cross his mind that you could buy plants in real life or that you could buy anything.
No, yeah. Not via ordered the internet. Them online. Trying to do my part and not spread COVID. So,
excuse me.
But then I also, in addition to those, I bought a herb garden. So I sowed my plants today, my herbs today.
Already?
Yeah.
What do you got?
So I got chives, basil,
hell yeah,
and cilantro.
Nice.
I have a parsley, but I'm not doing parsley. I don't give a fuck about parsley.
I am going to grow mint. I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Maybe we did talk about this because
we did a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to do it on the sill out there, I think.
Yeah.
But I love mojitos, and buying mint at the store sucks because, like, apparently you read about about mint, and apparently it grows like a weed.
Yeah,
but you just need to grow it yourself. You go to the store and you get like a little sprig of it, and it's like $2.99. It's kind of bullshit. Yeah.
I
want mojitos in the summer. You need mint for it, so
yeah. So I also think I want to start getting a pasta making.
Hell yes.
So I was gonna do bread making, but that kind of just feels like everyone's doing bread making now.
Dude, no, pasta where it's at.
So I was like, ooh, pasta.
Yeah.
And that would go really well with the basil that I'm making.
For sure.
Probably parsley too, but I'm not making that. So. All
right. So you bought some plants. That's not really a hobby, but anything else?
I bought the herbs. I bought seeds. So I'm growing those.
Okay.
That's what sowed is. You have to do some shit.
I mixed up sow and reap. You sow what you reap, dude.
No.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. They came with like these like dirt things that you had to like pour hot water and they expand and then you dig it and it's fucking confusing. So I got into that thing about becoming into pasta making.
Yeah.
Maybe pull Aziz Ansari and move to Italy and just make pasta.
Yeah. I love those first two episodes of Master of None when he's in Italy. I thought they were really cool.
Yeah, I mean I have my plane ticket already, so maybe I'll just stay there.
I also enjoy, I'll send you some good.
There's probably plenty of property for me to.
There's true. There's like 50, there's like 45, 50 minute clips of just pasta cutting machines on YouTube that are awesome. And they like, they're different molds that come out and this like, there's like a blade that rotates and cuts them off into like the different shapes that we're familiar with, like the shells and the.
I'll be able to get all that.
Ribbons. God damn, I love that. That's my ASMR. It's visual for me.
Yeah.
Not really. Auditory.
Try to get it running. It's not doing good. I think that's all my hobbies. I bought a Switch. Was that on the last pod?
Yeah, that was on the last pod 2 months
Jesus
ago.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Been rewatching Avatar, The Last Airbender.
I never watched it originally.
You should watch it. I think it's, in my opinion, it's a top 10 TV show of all time. Not just cartoon. Like TV show.
When are you going to watch The Sopranos?
Probably not. I don't like.
If you're going to get into making the pasta, you got to make the fresh mozzarella. I got a guy.
I'm not. You become the cheesemaker.
I got a guy from the other side to come over. All he does, 9 hours a day, make fresh buffalo mozzarella.
Why don't I do pasta and you do cheese, and then we'll combine our skills.
Okay.
And maybe we'll just open up an Italian restaurant.
We used to talk about the Brick Oven Pizza Place and / Frosty Frog.
So I did.
Smoothie Place.
So. We did talk about that. So I did start getting into making my own pizza too. That's kind of where I started like wanting the basil, was because I bought basil for the pizza. And I was like, I just want to grow this myself. So yeah, for my birthday, me and Carly made pizza and she had a shit ton of dough. So we made it we had pizza for like 3 days. So.
What kind of crust are we talking about?
So it was just like the bleach dough, so we want to get into some better dough for next time. This is gonna be a hit. We're gonna love this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, none of that stuff. I can send you the clip of us talking like this last time, and none of it made it its way in. Have you listened to the pod yet?
No.
You have all the. You should use this time to listen to the pod.
I've listened to like 5 minutes here and there.
Go back and listen to them.
No.
There's all these little pieces of.
I now especially don't want to listen to them now that I have the same cadence as Elon Musk, which disgusts me.
That sucks for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should go back and listen to the pods. I told you I went back and listened to a couple of them when I was jogging recently. It felt good.
Now I'm just...
Better times. Dude, what fucking... We would be on, game 11 now or something?
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine if this was going the way it was supposed to.
Yeah, who would have thought when we first did the pod that it'd be mid-May and we'd have one goal and 0 points? Like, did you see that coming? Because I didn't.
No, it's funny... Yeah, I don't know.
I'll tell you what, though. You know what this COVID thing was good for?
What's that?
Eric Miller. Everyone forgot. he gets a fresh new start after all this.
He might have came down with a case of it and we wouldn't even know.
Yeah. Everyone forgot how bad he was.
Now, I was going to say, I was telling anybody that would ask me, I was like, I don't have a goal with the pod. I mean, it was already more fun and cooler than I ever thought it would be. My only goal with it was I just needed a project. It was the whole reason I was doing it. And the only goal was to put it out every single week.
Yeah. And that lasted.
And now there's 6 month gap. But I mean, I feel like I get a pass on that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a global pandemic. We literally couldn't hang out with each other for a little bit of that time. A lot of it, though, was...
We might even get in trouble for this. I mean, we are essential business, though. This is essential potting.
Yeah. And we are 6 feet apart.
We are 6 feet apart, though. Yeah.
I did bring you your burrito and touch your burrito and then feed it to you.
I'll edit that out.
And then I baby bird it to you.
All right. Anything else we need to run through? Let's watch this Maradona doc for a little bit.
No, I'm going home.
Don't leave me, dude. How time is it?
9 o'clock.
Come on, man. I'm so alone. Please, dude.
Where's Karen?
Please.
Is she in Louisville?
She's gone, dude. She left me.
I like that you hung your guitars.
Yeah, that's good look. I want to do a higher. I don't like the lack of balance here with the art on the one side. And so I'm going to do a higher one in the middle there.
Yeah, maybe you should have thought of that before you put holes in the wall.
I did not. I mean, they're fine. But I'll show you what I should have thought of before I put holes in the wall. Is I was trying to hang this door thing on my bathroom. I've ruined the door in my bathroom. I've stuck huge holes through it. Legitimately ruined the door.
Were you able to find any studs in these? Because Carly's new place,
I have no idea.
Looks like this, and we have a stud finder, and then you go in, and it's just straight drywall.
I just use the hooks that go in, and then they hook through, so they're meant for a wall. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah,
they're
that's really what good. She ended up doing because she couldn't find a stud.
It's better. It's better, honestly, than a stud, in my opinion.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I got nothing else. Trying to think of what else we can just throw in here. You probably split this pod into two. We don't have to record next week.
We could. I don't know. So we've been recording for 1 hour 18.
That's not bad, actually.
No, that's really good.
I say you just record.
None of the last 20 minutes we're going to use.
No, I say you use the last 20 minutes. These people are desperate. I haven't had a pod from us in 6 months.
Well, this could come out with the uncut stuff that we never put out from the last one.
Yeah, that would probably wouldn't be a bad idea. Just do a bonus episode where it's just us doing this.
You have to request it, though. Yeah. I would feel bad putting it out into the ecosystem.
Yeah, maybe we'll make it I was going to say a paid thing, but I don't want to deal with money on this.
Well, we'll record again. We'll watch another movie. We should try to get back on the weekly schedule, honestly. That was great. Well, that was so fun. We were around episode 4, episode 5, we started to feel like we weren't actually awful at this. One or two people said they liked it. It started to feel really fucking fun. Yeah, we were just picking up steam.
I mean, you and I were all-time high. Our heads got really big.
Felt great.
our Twitter presence had not been any bigger.
We're talking 11, 12 likes.
I was not getting any,
13 likes.
I was not getting any work done. I was just trying to think of tweets. Tweets that I could just fire off that you wouldn't let me fire off.
Yeah. Yeah, the Twitter I've had nothing for.
This would have been a good time for me to like get involved in the Reddit, so then when we do start potting, I could like
true, they pick can't back just up. Say that you're spamming it for promotional purposes, yeah. Which you were. I mean, yeah. We were breaking the rules.
I mean,
I've gotten so bored with the quarantine that I am sort of on Reddit now. Like I have I a couple Reddit. Of subreddits I follow. It is good. Yeah. It's a good platform.
So I love Reddit. I just don't do Nashua C Reddit.
Yeah, like, and now I know like, oh, of course you can't do that. Like what we did. Yeah. Like, we should have gotten in trouble. I get it now, but I didn't at the time.
Oh, were you? Okay. Yeah. No, I definitely deserved, but...
You can't, yeah. You can't just pop again, in and be like, listen to my podcast.
In my defense, like, I was active on my personal Reddit. I just didn't use the Paradise Pod one.
Yeah.
But there's no way not, so... Well, yeah, we can make it a weekly thing. We'll just have to fill it with movie content. So get used to this, guys.
But yeah, I mean, maybe we'll have some Nashville news rolling back. In
well, we did talk about
the mix
becoming,
and then in a month or so, maybe games. I don't
we
know.
We did talk about becoming a Bundesliga fan pod.
True. Or do you have a Bundesliga team that you'll be following now?
Well, we had that graph that you and I had. Who is yours?
I don't know. I mean, I like we may not have even ever talked. I like Tottenham.
The cop out thing would become a Dortmund podcast.
I like I mean, I've always liked Dortmund. I have my Dortmund hoodie.
You have two Dortmund hoodies. no, and I've liked Dortmund since Pulisic and then now Gio Reyna, which yeah. We didn't even talk about. Gio Reyna doing the ultimate, like, typical USMT move of getting injured.
Yeah, that was a bummer. It was very exciting that he was going to start that game.
Yeah.
The biggest sporting event of the year.
But I don't understand how you have, like, 2 months off. And then you get injured right before the game. But all right, I got nothing. All right, well.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. We'll do it next week.
Okay.
There's no reason for us not to. There's plenty of movies to get us through until there's games again. All right, signing off
from the
new studio in the basement of the Historic Ramen Auditorium. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Later.
Feels good to be back. Bye-bye.